This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Canny View. It's a program all about your finances, and it's my pleasure, as always, to have in this studio today Tim Ewan from the Stewart Group right here in Hastings. How are you going, Tim?
I'm well, Ken. How are you?
Oh, can't complain. A little better for talking with you. You know that.
Absolutely. 100% right there.
Now, today we're going to talk about on how we can save money, perhaps by trimming back some insurance costs, that sort of stuff. But before we get there, just remind our listeners, Stewart Group, what are you all about?
We're about wealth management, risk insurance, KiwiSaver, and retirement advice. What we do is we sit down with the clients and we understand what their financial goals are and come up with a financial plan to help them achieve those goals through coaching and guidance and assistance as they go along life's highway. And sometimes there's a few speed bumps and curveballs that happen, but basically it's a case of staying on the bus, following the plan with a few adjustments as you travel along. Now, we're independent, we're non-aligned, so we're fees only. Now, we put our clients' needs first and work together with them, as I say, to make sure that they achieve their goals. So financial planning, wealth management, ethically and socially responsible investments. We deal with Booster KiwiSaver schemes. We also help our clients with Australian superannuation transfers, UK pension transfers, trusts, and a whole lot more. And we're located at 204 Karamu Road in Hastings. And you can jump onto the website www.stewartgroup.co.nz, and a disclosure statement about myself is available upon request.
A one-stop financial shop?
Yes, sir.
Now, anyone listening to this program knows that there is a lot of doom and gloom about, particularly with the cost of living. And today's topic is saving on insurance during difficult times. And we had a bit of a chat before we came to air. And, you know, a lot of people look at their outgoings and say, now, what can I do with that? And I've been talking to my wife at home. I said, well, we could possibly do with that neon. That's just a little saving, but you add it up over 12 months. You know? So I'm still chatting about that one. But I suppose that is human nature. And we look at things like, well, life insurance. And if we're a young man, we might say, well, you know, hey, look, I'm only 30. I'm going to live till I'm 70. Let's cut that back. What are some of your insights into what we shouldn't be doing with our insurances during difficult times?
That's a very topical topic, for want of a better word, one would say, Ken, that's for sure. And I guess the key thing is to get advice, yep, to sit down with your insurance advisor and have a conversation, have a meeting, have a chat with them around where you are right now and what your needs are. Because sometimes it might be simply a case of just reconfirming why that plan is in place, mm-hmm, relative to what your needs are. But it may be to say, well, actually, you know what? We haven't caught up for a year or two. My circumstances have changed as the client. Perhaps we could do a slight trim approach to the covers that you've got if we can justify and quantify the reasons for doing so. Quite often I've seen people make a rash decision to put a line through their covers. Yep. And that can have an impact on the people that are left behind if something unfortunate does happen. So there are two points there. One is, what are your needs right now? The second thing is, yes, let's trim and let's do it in a stepped approach. So, mm-hmm, rather than putting a line through a policy and just ripping it up and popping it on the fire, let's maybe drop it down from, say, 100,000 down to 75. Yeah. And I'm just using that as, sure, an example. Yeah. Also, if you have income protection insurance, there are a couple of levers that you can pull that change the cost of your income protection insurance. And New Zealanders traditionally and wrongly, in my humble opinion, are well underinsured when it comes to income protection insurance, because you think about it, if you had a machine that was generating $50,000 or $60,000 a year and it was sitting on the couch each night, you'd insure it, wouldn't you?
Sure would.
And that's in effect what your income is. But in terms of how do you reduce your expenditure around income protection insurance, how long you can wait before you get the money? Normally the wait periods are 4 weeks, 8 weeks, or 13 weeks. But if, say, for example, you're on a 4 or an 8 week wait, you might say, well, actually, let's have a look at the costing to move it out to 13 weeks, perhaps. Or you might say, well, actually, when I took this out, the cover was going to provide me right through into age 65. I'm actually 55 now.
Yep.
I've got a couple of assets that I can cash in or realise on. Maybe rather than having it to go through to age 65, let's have it for 5 years. And then that just gives me a bit of breathing space to reassess. But the key message there is about understanding where you are right now and what your needs are and having a discussion with your trusted risk insurance advisor, because they could make a couple of points and guidance for you around what you could possibly do. You know, you want to make a decision with your head and not your heart.
Sure. I did a bit of research before you came in and found a list of some top tips that you might consider. And one of them was increasing your deductible. So, you know, if you put a claim in, you normally got to pay the first $250. Well, if you pay the first $1,000, you may save quite a bit of money on a policy. Is that so?
That is correct, Ken. A lot of people talk to me around health insurance, because when you get to my age, not so much a young person like yourself, Ken,
yes,
but when you get to my age, the premiums start to go up in the shape of a hockey stick.
Mm.
So what I always say to the clients, I say, look, if you can afford to pay the first couple of thousand or 3,000 or 4,000, depending on who your company is that you have your insurance placed with, then hey, if you're getting a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 hip replacement, a $4,000 investment is not a bad thing. I've got a bad knee. I've had two operations on it, so I'm going to need a replacement at some stage. So I'm happy to pay the first $3,000 or $4,000 if I get a new bionic knee that will help me do the high jump even better than I did before.
A second on the list was look at bundling your policies together. So you come to your broker and you say, okay, well, you know, can I get a better deal if I do this, this, and this all at the same time?
That is another very valid point that you're making, Ken. Bundling them together, you can get multiple policy discounts, mm-hmm, depending on the type of insurance. Generally speaking, when it comes to life insurance, income protection insurance, trauma, etc., you bundle them together and insurance company A will give you an automatic, in some cases, 10 to 20% discount, just depending on the levels of cover and so forth. But then that is a way of saving on your premium. And of course, when it comes to, and this is not in my wheelhouse, but fire and general insurance, you want to make sure your house, your contents, your motor vehicle, within reason, is all under the one roof. Because again, bundling it up, you get multiple policy discounts, which can help.
Yeah. I wonder, Kiwis are funny people, I suppose it's across the world, that you know, we don't mind going to a hardware store, and if we're looking at buying a fridge or whatever, we don't mind saying, well, what's the best price for cash? But we go to the supermarket and we spend $200 or $300 on groceries. We would never think about asking for a discount on the groceries. And I think it might be the same with insurance. I mean, if I came to see you and you said, okay, well, Ken, this policy is going to cost you $250 a month, I would just say, oh, it's going to cost $250 a month to my wife. And she would say, oh, yeah. She would be asking for discounts from day one.
She would be.
No, would you? I mean, should we be asking you if there's a discount available on a policy?
And fair question. Unfortunately, we don't have any influence over what you actually pay from the get-go. That's up to the insurance company. They set their rates, and we are basically just the conduit between the insurance company and the client, but making sure the best conditions that can possibly be applied to a policy are available for that client. Because what we want to do is we want to wrap up as much as we can a promise to the client that at claim it will deliver on their expectations. Now, there's always going to be some variables in amongst that, but as a general comment, that's what happens with insurance. And unfortunately, I think sometimes insurance companies, particularly in the life insurance space, they probably don't tell their stories enough in the market, because there's a bit of a perception, and I'm getting off topic slightly here, but there's a bit of a perception perhaps that insurance companies go, no, we're going to do everything we can not to pay that claim for Ken.
Yes.
Well, not the case. Does it meet the policy guidelines? Yes, because that's their best form of advertisement, is to have Ken make a claim, get paid, and he tells his mates, hey, insurance company ABC, they delivered. Happy days.
Yeah. The other thing you touched on a lot here before was reevaluating your actual requirements, and I guess in good times and the bad times you should be doing that. But one of the points that was made in the article was don't overinsure. And that's the problem, that we can overinsure without even thinking about it.
Yeah, again, absolutely correct, Ken. I remember many, many moons ago I was at a barbecue and one chap was saying, oh, you know, I've got $1 million life policy, and it made him feel quite important and in a position of status. But I said to him, well, do you realise to get that paid out, you're going to be dead?
Yeah, yes, that's true.
Yeah, but still, that's. I said, well, why? And I said, you know, we're off duty here. This is a social gathering. But, I mean, why do you need $1 million if you've got, you know, debt levels of X? Well, pay back the debt, and then who's getting the rest of the money? Oh, well, my estate. Well, you're not married, you don't have children, what's the point? What's the point? Yeah, I mean, right. I know I've got a good friend of mine that doesn't have any children, etc., but his intention is that his assets will go to his nephews.
Mm.
So his KiwiSaver will be paid out upon his passing. So there's a bit of money that will give cash to the estate that will take care of any last-minute debts, and then, you know, hopefully the property can be sold in a reasonable time frame to distribute it in terms of his will. So he doesn't need money to cover his mortgage.
No.
You know, just a little bit for some breathing space for the people that are picking up the pieces, sure. But then, like I say, KiwiSaver, that'll be paid out.
Yeah. I guess a lot of it's leaving a legacy for your kids. So if there are kids involved, isn't it? We like to think that we're going to look after whoever's left behind.
Yeah, that's changed a bit though, hasn't it? Because nowadays my comments to people, whether it's on a professional basis or just socially, and it's purely my comments and opinion, the best asset that you can have when you get close to retirement is your health.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have your health, there's no point in being retired It's just miserable. So you've got to make sure you, and I'm not being holier than thou in any way, shape or form, but you've got to make sure that your health is up to a level that you can enjoy your retirement. And then you have to have the means to enjoy your retirement. So it's no point sitting in a cardboard box all day and watching the world pass you by. You want to be, you know, do the stuff that you like doing, listening to music, maybe doing some fishing, a little bit of travel, grandchildren, whānau, whatever that looks like. And perhaps maybe what we need more, and again, I'm just changing lanes briefly and riffing here, but as New Zealanders, we need to maybe at the age even beforehand, but 50, 55, what does retirement look like for us? Because what's retirement for me may be different for you, Ken.
Absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we want to live in mansions or anything or travel around the world. We just want to be able to maybe take a tour up and down Aotearoa, go and see some new towns we haven't been in, and that could be the perfect retirement, right?
Yeah, too right.
Yeah.
And you get to an age also when we're thinking about retiring, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you'll probably get to a certain age, let's say it's 80, you won't be doing that anyway because you're too old and you want to sit in your flat and you want to watch telly.
Is that what you're saying to me?
That's what I'm saying to me because that's 10 years away.
No, it's not. It's 30 years away, Ken. Goodness gracious me. That's a valid topic though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's and again, it's all about this whole, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. Do we need to travel around? You know, what is it actually that we want? You know, and that's the tough question that we don't often ask ourselves, do we? You know, if we've got a significant other in our life, you know, are our goals aligned, you know, in terms of what we want to do? Yeah.
What about things like home and car insurance? I mean, that, you know, you buy any car and you insure it for the value that you buy it for on the day. And like I've had my car for 10 years, but we haven't, I don't think, looked at the policy that we're paying on it. So we're probably paying the same premium, and I would hazard a guess it's probably worth a quarter of what I paid for it.
Yeah, good question again, Ken. For me, I do like cars, so I focus on what the values of my cars are and make sure that in the event of a total write-off, I will get what the insurance company says is the value based on that policy for that year. Now, this can be a little bit of a grey position sometimes, and back in the day when Fair Go used to be on TV, you used to see some of these topics raise their head, as it were, because, you know, Tim had his car insured for 10, written off and he only gets 5.
Mm.
However, there are some providers that if it is locked in at the start of the renewal period for a year and it's insured for 10, you will get 10.
Is that a common practice though?
Probably less so, but it pays to shop around.
Yep.
And then to save you the legwork, you could go to a broker and say, hey, look, I want my car insured for the best possible policy and I want to be guaranteed a payout of X dollars if it was ever written off. Now, obviously, if you've got a, this is a bad example, but maybe a 1974 Morris Minor that's worth, you know, $2,000, you can't insure it for 40.
No.
And what they do is when you do say, hey, I want to insure car ABC, they'll punch in the registration and say, well, okay, we see that as a band between 10 and 15. And then you tell them that, hey, well, let's go 13 and a half. That way, again, it goes back to what I said before. There's no surprises at claim time. And that's what you want to have with your risk plan, to make sure there are no surprises.
You talked about slash and burn at the beginning of the program, that, you know, people, some people just write their policies off. Can you put them on hold?
Yes, you can take a payment holiday. Mm. If you are finding things pretty tough, conversation with your advisor, they can go into bat for you. They can talk to the insurance company and say, hey, look, this particular client has found themselves in a little bit of a tough time at the moment. They want to put the policy on hold, and it might be for 3 or 4 months or whatever that may be. The key point there is, though, when it is on hold, you pay no premium, but you have no cover.
No.
So that is the risk that you do face.
So it'd be best to renegotiate a lesser payment and still get something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, look, we're just about out of time, Tim. So if we want some sound advice on our insurances, where do we come and see you?
You come and find us at 204 Karamu Road in Hastings, and we can sit down and have a chat, no obligation, and just do a review of what current covers you have. And we may say to you, look, everything's fine, or we may pick up a few holes or a few gaps, etc., and then we can come up with a written plan that gives you a bit of a roadmap to follow to put it into place, and then we're there if you ever need it at any stage, and also to make sure it's reviewed at least once a year.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.